Well, this morning we looked at the where and why and how and who of praise in Psalm 150. Remember, that was a psalm that was calling for praise in the sanctuary, here among the people of God. And it was also calling for praise in the highest heavens. We desire that heaven would resound with praise and earth would echo it back to heaven, a whole universe full of the praise of God. I mean, this is what God has created the universe for. We can look forward to a reality of that in eternity. One of the things I mentioned in the course of the sermon is that we often think simply of praise going on here on earth. And that's a wonderful thing to think about. You think of the praise of God all around this globe going on in various styles, various tempos, and all praise pouring out to God. But I mentioned that this world isn't the only place where praise is going on. Revelation includes the account of praise in the heavens. And that heavenly praise is continuous and glorious beyond our imagining. The fact that God has been praised in heaven gloriously inspires us to praise here below, and it gives us something to look forward to when we will be able to enter into praise with unceasingly glad hearts. Well, that's where we're going to be looking this evening, to Revelation, and particularly the end of Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. We'll be looking at verses 11 to 14. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." Four living creatures said, "Amen." The elders fell down and worshiped. This morning, we looked at the where and why and how and who of praise. This evening, we're going to look at the now and then of praise. Now and then of praise. Before we get to that, let's Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the vision it gives us of the praise going on in heaven. Lord, we enjoyed praising you together this evening, just this small group of us. Lord, it expands our minds to think of the myriads upon myriads of angels praising you around your Lord, we look forward to seeing that, to participating in that. We pray that you would give us an even greater taste for that as we think of these things this evening. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we just looked at the last couple of verses of this glorious vision of the throne room of God in Revelation 4 and 5. Remember just a little bit of what that vision looks like. It's this glorious apocalyptic language. Remember, there's a throne in heaven. We see all of these glorious, kind of difficult to even imagine images of a sea of crystal, of these amazing living creatures with very symbolic features to them. Think of the thrones arrayed. We think of the Lamb on the throne. Think of the thunder and lightning going on all through this throne room. And then we're reminded even here of just the crowds, enormous crowds of angels singing God's praise. Well, when is all of this happening? When is this praise around the throne going on? We often think of Revelation as being the account of the end times, things that are yet to come. But I think the more you look at these chapters, the more you say that they aren't talking about some future event that will happen one day. Someday, Jesus will be on the throne and someday he'll be praised there. This is a picture of what's going on in heaven now. This is why Revelation was an encouragement to the suffering believers in the early church, the ones John was writing this to. Would it be encouraging that eventually Jesus would be on the throne and there would be praise? Yes, that would be a little encouraging. It'd be very encouraging in the midst of your suffering to know that Jesus is there now. That praise is resounding to his name now. How much of this chapter should we read very literally? I think that can be a kind of hard question. We understand that everything that's written in Revelation is not written in a literal way. It uses apocalyptic language to communicate a message. But what certainly should be taken literally is that the Lamb is on the throne now, and praise is being sung to him now. He ascended to the throne when his work of salvation was completed. He is on the throne. That is a truth that impacts our daily life. Changes our view of our lives and the struggles we face and the challenges we see to the church now. To realize he is ruling. He is in control. In our passage today, we see something of what is going on in heaven now. And I think we see that particularly in verses 11 and 12. Look at those again. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Just in those verses, take inventory of the individuals who are here, who are being described. We got those living creatures. They're still there. Awesome voices like thunder. We have the elders arrayed around the throne. They're praising God. And then we have the angels, myriad upon myriad, innumerable angels, calling with a loud voice of praise. What's the biggest crowd that you've ever been part of. You have some experience, I wonder, that would come to mind. Oh, this time when I was in a huge crowd of people. I have Times Square on New Year's Eve. That was a big crowd. There's not a lot of worship going on. Remember once going to an outdoor, you know, Christian concert, and I was told there were 100,000 people there. It was pretty glorious singing, but it was outside. It's hard to be too loud, apparently, even with 100,000 people. Was at a conference inside with 10,000. That was a glorious time of worship, a wonderful roar of 10,000 voices. This is pointing to something much greater than that. It's not something that'll happen someday in the future. It's praise going on now. Now, how should it impact us that this kind of praise is going on in heaven even now? Well, one way that it impacts us is really found, I think, in the difference between kicking something off and entering in. Imagine if for every one of the songs we just sang, we didn't use any music, and we just went around the room and I said, okay, for this one, Sam, you start us. Okay, for this one, Alan's gonna kick us off. How would you feel? Would you still come to evening service? If maybe you were going to get called on to start this one off. I get this once a month. Nothing but the blood. It is not one of the things that I like most about being a pastor. Don't especially enjoy singing by myself, especially, I mean, even for 0.5 seconds. Or whatever it is, I'd have to say that's not my most worshipful, you know, least self-conscious 0.5 seconds of the service. It's easier for me to join in once it's already started. I'm not asking us to, you know, change our pattern here. I think it's fine. I can handle that 0.5 seconds. Simply pointing out that it's easier to join something than to start it off. I think sometimes we get the feeling that here on earth, we are really, you know, carrying the praise of God. I mean, we recognize that there are other churches around, but we sort of get the impression that, you know, if we weren't doing it, you know, us and some of these other churches, God wouldn't really be being praised all that much. You know, we gotta really do this. God's praise depends on us. I think what Revelation reminds us is, look, we are entering into a chorus that's going on, that's been going on from the minute God created the world. We're entering in to the praise of the Lord. May that encourage us to leap into it. Not be bashful. Lord, we're joining a chorus in reminder to us that this world was made to praise God, and it is doing that. We're often discouraged by the state of the world. God made this world. It doesn't seem to be working the way he intended. There are problems in the world. There are problems in the churches. But God is being praised now. His purposes to be praised have not been thwarted. He is surrounded by praise now. Well, that's the now of praise. I want us to turn a little bit more briefly to think of the then of praise. I just got finished saying that chapters 4 and 5 are talking about what is going on in heaven now. But I think we might have at least a little exception to that when we come to the end of this chapter. Look at verses 13 and 14 again. It says, "And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them, saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." The elders fell down and worshipped. I looked at those verses, looking at this passage, and I thought, you know, this sounds wonderful. Every creature in heaven and earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them, praising God. But I don't think that's quite happening yet. All creatures are praising God in their own ways, except for humans. I think all of the creatures God has made are bringing him praise in their way, but not all of us are. Not all humans. But I think what the author's doing is collapsing time. This is one of the things you see the author in Revelation do often. Where he'll bring together events. Some events that you look at and you say, okay, I think I see what's going on there. I think that's this. But then there's this other event, maybe only a couple of verses later, that you're saying, wait, that seems like the final judgment. And often the writer of Revelation just kind of brings those all together and describes them in the same vision. I think what we see here is the author describing what is going on in heaven now and what is going to go on one day when every single creature will praise God. We will ascribe to God honor and glory and might. Now, what good does it do for us to ascribe these things to God? I mean, it doesn't make him more honorable for us to say it. But it is the appropriate response to greatness for us to recognize and praise him for it. It's what we were created to do. Well, how should it impact our lives that this is what we have to look forward to? I think it should encourage us to share the gospel with confidence. Often we can be tentative, right? We can be afraid. We know where the world is headed, and it's headed toward every creature praising God. This is what we are made for. I think this truth encourages us to pray with anticipation, to praise with anticipation, not simply looking back or simply contemplating what's going on in heaven now, as glorious as that is, but looking forward and saying God's glory will be even more praised, even more glorified, when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that he is Lord. Well, hopefully, looking at those things reminds us of ideas I was trying to capture with that title, the now and then of praise. Most of the time, I just throw a title together. I don't spend much time thinking about it. But I like this one a lot. The now and then. You know, we use that term to just mean occasional, intermittent. But what we're looking at is that it's going on now. And it will go on even more gloriously then. May that truth fill our hearts with joy and anticipation. Do our part to enter into the praise of God. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. We praise you for your glory. We ascribe to you honor and praise. Would you help us to rejoice in your praise, not just today, not just here, gathered together, but as we continue through our week. Lord, may our minds be moved as we read your word individually. May our hearts be moved as we look at the world you've created around us, as we're reminded of your blessings, even as we come to you to confess our sins this week. Lord, may our confessions quickly turn to praises as we remember our Savior. Lord, would you fill our lives with praise?